perhaps the, I don't know if Rick Dean's still here. Maybe Rick Dean or Tom could address that question a little later, because I know that the public doesn't see it, but I want them to know what the county's been doing to protect their interests as well, because I know they've been working pretty hard on this.
Absolutely, and we are trying to be, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. We're trying to be as transparent as possible with you all as well as the public, and we will definitely be making that more transparent moving forward so that you can all be aware of what we're doing behind the scenes. The county has put a lot of work into working with the contractors to ensure public safety in particular on the project.
Thank you.
Oh, I have one thing. One of the things that, about transparency, I would love to see some kind of live stream cam for the project up there. I know I've mentioned this to our local public information officer. You know, I think we can hold AT&T to task. There's no reason why technology can't enable us to do that. And I would love to see a counter on how many people are hitting the website. So, you know, one of the things we talked about is we have the public here and we have people online, but I think there's a bigger awareness of what's going on, and I think, you know, we should shine the light on it completely. So that's a high priority for me for a webcam of some sort.
Excellent. Yeah, we have, thank you for making that point, Supervisor. We have had this discussion, the county PIO, myself, with KRC and their PIO and McMillan. I believe they were working through that process. We did let them know that it was a high priority for the county, so we will continue to follow up on that.
Particularly for the upcoming year when the heavy part of the project is going to entail. And I think there is a lot of interest in seeing what's going on.
Absolutely. We're also hopefully going to be working with the KRC's contractors to get some public viewing areas so they can see that in real time.
Right. That still, to me, is yes. But I also don't want to drive a lot of traffic in a construction, heavy construction zone. The locals are already impacted. I don't want to overly impact that. So I'm thinking more people down south, South County, whatever, they can look and they can see what's going on.
Understood.
All right. Thank you.
Starlink should work there.
I understand that my home works great.
Yeah.
It's
going to be hard.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
More to come. Item 5, we are going to move on to public request. Federal Emergency Management Agency. Come on up.
Sorry. I want to introduce Brian Copper. Brian is a distinguished mapping expert from our FEMA headquarters, and he is here to join us to talk about the mapping process. And he just sent me a little note that he's not able to unmute himself. Okay, you got it now, Brian?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, great. Excellent. Thanks.
Hi. Thank you all for the invite and the opportunity to speak here today. We FEMA, with the letter map revision process and conditional letter map revision process, we talk with communities all the time, routinely, as part of our day-to-day business. These things are smaller scale than a flood map study or flood risk study, which are conducted at the region. So they're handled by headquarters. So that's why I'm on the phone here, and I'm the lead for these map actions. And we process them all throughout the country. And we could have calls like this, and we could also have other calls, with your engineers or with any of you as well. So this doesn't have to be our one and only time to talk. There may be questions or other information that we can share. So I just wanted to extend that opportunity and let you know that anytime you all would like to talk again, let us know. But to revise the effective map, we always start with the effective model. And in this case, the effective model shows a approximate zone A floodplain, which is a without BFEs or without floodways. So there isn't a likely a CLOMAR requirement, a conditional letter map revision requirement. If the proposed project is not going to increase the BFE more than a foot, so without the BFEs and the floodway, your requirement for having a proposed project and you send that data into us and we comment on it, that likely wouldn't be required here because it is a Zone A approximate floodplain. But regardless, you'll need to have a modeling. So we have a broadly effective model, and then you need to have a revised model, and then you submit that to us and make comparisons and see if it matches, how it matches and compares with the effective tie-in locations. In a general sense, that's a high level. Letter map changes, LOMARs take approximately 9 months or so, but there is some back and forth typically. Once the request is sent in, we have 90 days on our clock to provide review comments back. Typically, we don't take the full 90 days. That's in regulation that we have to get back to you in writing within 90 days. It's the 60-day time frame. So we would give you comments back. We could always have a call to discuss any comments, of course. And then you have 90 days on your clock to submit data back to us. So that's where the time can take, because it's time on our end to get you review the technical data, get your review comments back, you review it, and then provide that submittal back to us. So that's where the total time could be around 9 months or a year. But there is always an appeal period for letters of map change, a 90-day appeal period on the back end. So once we issue a case, or some people say complete, there's a 90-day appeal period. And so the effective date of the change, even though we've issued the case, completed the case, there's roughly 4.5 months at the back end of it before the change becomes effective. So I have some references I can send you. I can put them, I don't know if I can put them in a chat here, but I can email them to Edie and maybe Edie can share them. Some websites which have the forms, the MT2 forms, the instructions. And then we also have a dams and reservoirs guidance document, which is fairly recent. It's from 2022. So for our standards, that's pretty recent. We update guidance every year annually. But this one is fairly new because we hadn't had one before. And we have some section in there, section 3.2, which talks about submittals for CLOMARs and LOMARs with dams as a part of the project area. But I don't know what level of detail you'd like to get into today. I kind of just talked in a general sense.
Okay, so I think you mentioned that you were willing to come back at some point. We can do that kind of thing. I'm going to take this as an initial opening for FEMA. I think ultimately the constituents want to know dams in, dams out, what's going to happen with the floodplain. It would be helpful for me to see a map up here, kind of like before, during, after, something along those lines. So I think we'll just take this as an opening salvo. I'm going to go to my board members for questions and where they are. So if they're happy, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Just a couple quick questions. One main question. All along we were told that in the EIS and the number of documents, the proponents of removal knew exactly what the sediments were going to do in this river, and they weren't going to affect below 5 miles below the river. However, in the packet that I looked at from FEMA, you can't predict exactly where the floodplain is going to be because of the sediment deposits after dam removal. So I'm wondering how exactly FEMA signed off on the public safety piece, looking at risk for flooding post dam removal.
Yeah, this is Brian Cobrat. We could look into that question. I'm not the person that would be involved in that, but we can work within the agency to get back to you on that.
I appreciate an answer. Thank you. That's all I have.
So have you looked at this project at all?
Have you all submitted data to
us? It's not up to the county to submit this data. I would think it's the KRRC's burden to bear out what's going to happen here.
I'm sorry, I didn't know who was speaking. I didn't know.
This is Supervisor Kopsa speaking. He asked an initial question, whether you've looked at the project at all.
I have not, because I haven't been supplied any data yet. So if you all have sent data to us, or KRC has submitted data to us, if you could send it over my way, I could share my email address.
Well, they're getting ready to pull the plug on this next year. So I would think somebody would have had to take a little bit of a look at what the floodplain was going to look at prior to this today.
Yeah, that means it seems reasonable. I can only speak to what I've seen or what data I have. I can talk to you about the effective models of Zone A. LOMARs are based on existing conditions, so you're right. Yeah, existing conditions have changed with these removals. I'm sure floodplain is going to be quite different.
If I'm understanding you correctly, no one, whether it's the county or the KRC or Pacific Corps or even FERC, have notified FEMA with regard to this project and what the potential outcome could be for modeling on the floodplain? Is that an accurate statement?
I can't speak for everyone. I can only speak for my email box. And from what I've seen in my emails, I haven't been involved in, our contractors haven't informed me of anything. We talk with them all the time that are assigned to the state and this part of the country, so no, we haven't. From our letter map revision process, there isn't anything in-house.
Thank you.
Supervisor Roker?
I have no questions.
Supervisor Chris?
Yeah, a couple questions and then points to, for Chelsea as well. For the floodplain, is there coordination with Army Corps of Engineers? Will there ever be any manual alterations? If you don't know this one, I can ask. Go ahead. I'm sorry for putting you on the spot. You're working for us.
Yeah.
You're advocating for us doing those things, so I'm not pointing my finger at you. You're doing your job. Question I have for the floodplain, when it gets established, is there potential for manual alterations to protect citizens' street houses, communities, those sorts of things?
I do believe that the CAMF has some funding for floodplain mitigation. So if there are new buildings within the floodplain that are affected by the new floodplain, 100-year floodplain, then yes, there is funding in there. In terms of the Army Corps' involvement, the Army Corps has been involved in this project. And if I may address Supervisor Kopsaf, some of your questions, if you don't mind. The purpose of having FEMA on the call today was to give everybody a high-level overview about what the process is moving forward. It is my understanding that FEMA, for the new floodplain revisions, does not actually get involved. They do not receive the data until the project has been completed. And the reason being is that you cannot map or remap a floodplain if there is still work happening. So the dams need to come out. There needs to be restoration, and then there can be a reassessment of, okay, now that the dams are out, the sediment has moved where it's going to move, then FEMA comes in, collects the data, and is able to redo that floodplain. So I understand that there's frustration that, you know, FEMA hasn't been involved at this point, but as to my understanding, they don't get involved until that point in the project. So today our hope was that we could start with FEMA getting engaged early in the process here, so that the community can better understand what that process is going to look like moving forward, because it also is going to affect potentially floodplain insurance, which is what ED will speak to here in a minute.
And
did that answer your question?
And then follow up to, I know for care about the whole river, but for the for direction down the road, there's a lot of concern. Copper goes out, and there's a dam 11 miles or 15 miles up north called J.C. Boyle. And that sediment coming down, and that sediment's impact on the Copco community, as well as KRC, that combines with what Copco brings there, would be a concern that constituents have expressed to me.
Absolutely, and I'll make sure to follow up and have additional conversations about sediment transport. KRC is aware that that is a topic of concern. And I believe that they will be addressing that either today or in the future.
And I know the Army Corps of Engineers has been brought in throughout the United States to alter things, mm-hmm. to protect infrastructure. If there would be a reception on that aspect to do that if something happens that is unanticipated to protect that infrastructure. And then also for us, this isn't for FEMA, but downriver, there's adjudicated water rights downriver, and how this sediment coming down impacts those outtakes of that water. That could be quite a cost on a small operation. So how that would be handled for those operations.
Understood, and I can follow up with that.
Okay, mm-hmm. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Of course.
Supervisor Roper.
I guess the one thing that everybody else hasn't said is with the mitigation fund, these folks, what's the time frame, the length of time that these folks are being cared for monetarily when it comes to floodplain? Because if a new floodplain has not been established and isn't going to be established for, I mean, if we're not even going to look at this until at least the beginning of 2005, and then there's at least a year and a half to 2 years before we can even begin to establish any kind of a new time frame for a floodplain, that mitigation fund and their any help that they're going to get from that is probably going to be death. So those folks within that boundary are probably not going to have any more support from KRRC. So anything after that, they're on their own. I'm not sure that that's okay. I think we need to look at that. And I think we need to figure out a way to support those folks at least within the boundary of the dam removal area, at least down to the bridge, which is where we're talking about the sediment. And then, of course, there's all the other folks downriver that are still going to be impacted, but that's outside of the boundary that we're discussing. Nobody's talking about that. We need to bring that to light. We need to help these people. And we need to look at that mitigation fund a little bit more deeply, and with this in mind specifically.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good point. That is a point that the county has actually raised previously with the KMF administrators. It is documented in a staff report, I believe, from April or May, because that is one of the things that we had flagged when we were reviewing their presentations to the community, particularly on flooding. And that is where I think the confusion stemmed from in terms of what is considered a new quote-unquote floodplain, and the difference between that and what has been modeled in the environmental documents, which for lay people, also for people that have been in this industry for a while, if you don't deal with it every day, it can be very confusing. And so that's one of the reasons why we've been able to engage with FEMA and to get them involved in the process to better explain how this is going to work. In terms of the KMF, we did bring up that question to the administrators. Their response is memorialized in that report. It did not give us a lot of information, unfortunately. We have also asked that the administrators come and speak to the board, attend board meetings, come to the COPCO meeting, and they have respectfully declined.
They need new administrators in that fund.
That's above my pay grade.
Well, and to be open about that, I've personally asked the administrators to come speak, and they have declined. And I have been in contact with them a number of times. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating for all of us.
Yeah, we'll continue to do what we can and to ask these questions and to bring this to the forefront. I can't promise any good results, but we will keep continuing to try because we do know that this is an issue. In terms of the extension of the timeline, that seems reasonable, and we will continue to ask that.
Thank you.
Just a comment. I know there's been a lot of experts involved, you know, with the floodplain piece, but it's unfathomable to me that any government would make a decision without one of those government agencies weighing in on the public safety piece. FEMA especially, I don't know what the Army Corps of Engineers has been doing. They've been ducking me for 5 years. With regard to the water rights, I'd like to see us press a little harder on a mitigation fund for reconstruction of diversion intakes and piping and those kind of. They've been designed for a certain flow that's been in that river for quite a long time, and as you probably well know, to change that hardware is tens of thousands of dollars of cost, and you know, with the river now, it's going to go up and down instead of a steady flow. I know other rivers around the county, copper dams have to be used and that kind of thing. I don't see that in the plan, but there has to be some attention paid to that, and not just 5 miles below. I'm talking about all the way to Happy Farm.
Well, we will look into that and see what we can do on our end, and we will follow up with you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Koshel, then a follow-up?
Just quickly, the whole purpose of the mitigation fund is to offset costs to our residents, and that's not being accomplished, KRRC. Get off the dime and fix it. You have the money. You have the checkbook from everybody that said, if it goes over a half a billion, there's more money to get to it, but yet you're hearing here already that there's complications. Fix it. Thank you.
Any other follow-up comments regarding FEMA claim?
I believe Ms. Lomans would like to speak a little bit about the potential ramifications to flood insurance and that process. Thank you.
Okay, before I get to her, Mr. Dean, did you want to interject something to the floodplain discussion?
Yes, Chairman. Rick Dean, Community Development Director. If I may, I'd like to ask a question. Regarding our situation, because we're in process with McKinney Fire, mm-hmm. folks are rebuilding, how would you suggest or propose that we move forward with the floodplain elevations for example, the community hall that was lost in Klamath River? Mm-hmm. So we're in the interim here. We don't have, we have current little 100-year floodplain data right now, but the dam's going to be coming out in 6 months or less. How are we to move forward with them? You know, a year, 2 years, 3 years out is not practical. So
so either Edie or Brian, can you answer that question regarding current standards and how do we rebuild something without knowing what's in the future?
Right. So Brian can back me up here, but I'll jump in and take the first stab at it. You know, for the National Flood Insurance Program, we're expecting people to rebuild based on current standards, which would be the current FEMA flood insurance rate map that is in full force and effect. And so building to those standards currently, if they're pulling permits now, that would be the standard. However, if there is, or at some point in the near term, better available data, then the community is free to enforce that that data that is more current for building and permitting process. That's really the short answer. Brian, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, yeah, they would need just permit to the higher hazard. Yeah, whether it's a higher BFE or higher flood zone based on that better data. Right.
You don't know what that is?
Right, but the better data is, what, 3 years out from now?
Which we don't know.
Which you don't know. And potentially we're putting residents at risk by allowing them to build at the current flood levels, knowing that it's likely to change significantly. So.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I see someone from the public wants to fill out a card, come up, state your name, we'll give you 3 minutes.
I don't need 3 minutes.
Okay.
The real world problem that's not mentioned here, Richard Marshall, Richard Marshall, Scott Bell, the real world problem that hasn't been addressed yet and is going to have to be addressed by somebody is loss of mortgage insurance by people who live along the river when the floodplain is in flux or changing. And as Rick mentioned, people are going to build homes, replace homes that have been affected.
Thank you. Some of them tribal homes.
Steve Radford. You know, I'm a contractor. I've been in business for 40 years, and if I've taken on a huge project, I'm demanded to put up a huge bond to cover anything that might come up. And I haven't noticed anything about a bond. Maybe there is one out there, but I'm sure it's not substantial enough to cover the next 10, 20 years. You know, we were promised a lot from the forest, and when they took away the forestry and the logging and all of that, we've not received much of that at all. And the way that the corruption is going today in this world, we can't count on anybody to be honest with us for the next 10 or 15 years. You know, what the policies, the regulations keep changing, and they can make it harder and harder for these people to rebuild. So before we do anything further, there should be a multi-billion dollar, trillion dollar, the money they spend these days is ridiculous. We're in the trillions now. There should be a bond, a substantial bond, to cover the county with whatever might come up. And PG&E or whoever, Muffet, whatever his name is, you know, these guys should be putting this huge, humongous bond up to cover anything that might come up in the next 10, 20 years. Because we are not being covered for any of this stuff in the forest right now. We had 360-degree water quality, not degree, but water quality on Sunday. From what? You know, I mean, they had a balloon fair out there that had to be canceled completely. People came from all over, you know, tourist money. It was ruined because of the fires and the smoke. For what? Backfires? So these guys can keep making money all through the summer and have the same money next year again? There's so much corruption going on. We need a bond to cover everything for the next 10 or 20 years, please. Thank you very much.
Ms. Patrick,
hi, Debbie Bachkalupi, Montague, California. I was just in Costco yesterday, coming back from a conference called the Stop the 30 by 30 Summit, which is relative to what we're talking about today, because under the 30 by 30, which Governor Newsom executive ordered back in October 6th, I believe, of 2021, followed by President Biden 6 days after he took his presidential oath, executive ordered the 30 by 30, 30% more land under control by the year 2030. They say it's all about conservation. But this, which, you know, anybody who looked at these plans can see that it's clearly about control. Part of the 30 by 30 is not just land, it's water. And I find it, like, shocking that the dams that were originally supposed to be not removed, because it's destruction. We all know it's destruction. It's not removal. We're supposed to be by the year 2020, which goes along with the 30 by 30. In the year 2030, we are supposed to, in California, put under permanent easements forever and ever and ever till the end of the world, water and land. And so this, the Klamath River, I read an article that says that the Klamath River, the destruction helps fulfill on the 30 by 30. The picture that I just gave you all is from Costco. I was there yesterday picking up some shelves, and I went by the freezer area, and lo and behold, there are massive amounts of wild coho salmon just 40 miles up the road that you can buy for $9.99 a pound. I say that because I want everybody and the public to understand and know, and just another, you know, like point in your pocket, that this is not about saving the fish, the coho. Because if it were about saving coho to be endangered and threatened, you would not be selling wild coho in a store. You would put a moratorium on that endangered species in this area. And clearly you can buy it in Redding below us and in Oregon above us, and the Klamath River is right in between the two. So I just ask these groups who are working on dam destruction, because it's not dam removal, think about what they've been tasked to do, not only destroy a community in the end, but also all the farmers and ranchers within this basin as they implement full basin management to provide more water into the Klamath as those dams are being destroyed and the water is being drawn down. This is a huge agenda major, and it's going to hurt a lot of people. I know I'm repeating myself and what others have said. I just think we need to keep these thoughts and emotions and agendas in the forefront of the public who have very little knowledge about what's happening. Thank you so much.
Anyone online yet?
I would like to.
I'll get to you if you want to fill out a card and keep coming through.
I've got his card here.
Showing none online.
Anyone else in the house? No?
Jay Martin, Siskiyou News. I wasn't going to really speak today about some of what I know and what's going on this Klamath River. But I'll tell you what Debbie just said really fires me up. Because I have been personally threatened numerous times. Do not publish the fish counts on the Klamath River. Do not post fish pictures of them swimming in pools headed up into the tributaries where they actually spawn.
Anyone else on public comment? Seeing none, Ms. Loman, did you want to finish up? Did you have something you wanted to add?
Sure, just real quick. I think we talked already about one piece, which is the building requirements for structures that will be constructed in these special flood hazard areas or A zones, as we call them. Those are the high risk area. So I really want to shift over more to the insurance piece and talk about the impacts of the project when the existing map is revised to reflect the dam removal. So lenders are required to mandate flood insurance under the federal law for any structure with a federally backed loan that's located in a special flood hazard area on the current FEMA flood insurance rate map. So what that essentially means is that when the maps are updated to reflect the project, there'll be new floodplains. Some people may be going into a floodplain, some people may be coming out, and again, that would be any special flood hazard area which if you're looking at a FEMA flood insurance rate map would be the bluish or greenish area, but it's any flood zone that starts with the letter A as in Adam or V as in Victor. So the main point here is for folks whose buildings will be newly mapped into one of these A zones, and I think Brian mentioned unnumbered A is kind of what we're looking at here. If they have a federally backed mortgage, and they will, their building's going to be remapped into that unnumbered A zone, they'll be required to get flood insurance as a condition of their mortgage. And that's not a FEMA requirement. It's a federal law that lenders have to comply with and that auditors monitor on an ongoing basis for them. And that's not to say that, you know, the risk is strictly contained in the special flood hazard area. About 35 or 40% of our claims now, especially in California, we're seeing those coming out of areas that are not in the special flood hazard area. So we have kind of a mixed bag in California for a variety of reasons for which we could have another 1 hour discussion, wildfires, atmospheric rivers, all kinds of things happening here in California where we're seeing a lot more flooding. We're seeing increasing frequency and increasing severity. So we try to let people know that there is risk regardless of whatever flood zone they're in. We also want to let them know that there is a federal law out there that if they have a federally backed loan and their structure is in a special flood hazard area or any flood zone that starts with the letter A as in Adam or V as in Victor, that the lender will be requiring them to have flood insurance for the life of their loan. And they don't necessarily have to have NFIP, or National Flood Insurance Program insurance, there is now private insurance, private flood insurance that's out there and available, so they can shop around for the insurance to see what provides the best coverage and the best price for them. And folks will want to do that by taking advantage and talking to their local insurance agent. The NFIP has limited flood insurance coverage, will insure up to a maximum of $250,000 of coverage on a residential building, $100,000 on personal contents, and for commercial buildings, we're limited under statute to $500,000 on the building and $500,000 for contents coverage. So I think in a nutshell, that's kind of the high-level talking points. We're early on in the project, so as Brian said, we're here to support all of you and help answer questions and keep things on track.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Any follow-up questions from the board?
With regard to the insurance requirements, if it does get into a different floodplain, I guess I'm speaking again to the mitigation fund and the KRRC. This is something that is a burden to the residents that are now going to have to do this. This isn't something that they asked for. This is what the world has asked for to open up the system. The money is there. You should be making good on the good neighbor policy that even FERC put in your order.
Supervisor Chris?
Thank you. This is rarely ever come up to a private individual, but just Mr. Martin, free and fair press is absolutely important. So hopefully you'll be able to contact appropriate authorities and the information needs to get out. So thanks for sharing with us. But
I'm not kidding.
No, I don't.
Okay, there's no back and forth.
Sorry.
No, just hopefully you contact.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, thank you, Ms. Lohman and Brian. More to come on this. This is not a one-off type of conversation. With that, we're going to take 5 minutes, right?
Thank you.
I was thinking of you, Wendy.
I appreciate that.